Well, Happy New Year once again. 2011 was a great, great year. It was a year of freedom. It was a year of justice. It was a year of restoration. It was a year seeing the church come alive. And we celebrate that. And because we are in Christ, the best is yet to come. Amen? You see, if you are in Christ, that promise is true forever. You need to understand that for all of us who have given our lives in trust and surrender to Jesus Christ, even when Jesus returns and we enter paradise forever with Christ, that truth is still truth that is relevant for our lives, that the best is yet to come. You see, our God is eternal. Our God is infinite. So there is no way that we will ever fully comprehend all the goodness that God is through Christ. So every year, every 100 billion years that passes by, as we celebrate in heaven, I can't wait. As that happens, as another 10 billion year passes, we will still get to explore the depth of the beauty of who God is. We will know more of His personality. We will know more of the beauty and the creativity of His creation. Forever, we will get to know the greatest person, personality in Jesus Christ. Forever. Amen? That is exciting. And I know it is hard to comprehend in our finite, especially still fallen mindset that we have. But that is the truth that we hold on to forever. That even in eternity, we can declare that the best is yet to come, and that will be true. That will be accurate. Because we will still be exploring the infinite nature of who God is, and also we will be exploring the infinite beauty of God's creation. Further galaxies we will see and explore. So that was 2011, our year of freedom that we have celebrated, and still I am in amazement for all that God has done. And for 2012, the word that God gave us even a couple years back was that this would be a year of honor. So everyone say honor. I'm excited for that. We will desire to honor God and honor all those around us. And so if you want to look at even the cover of your bulletin, we have our key verse for the year there as well. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20. Those who honor me, I will honor. And that's what we desire to do. Not worry about the second part of receiving honor from the Lord. Our concern is the first portion, and that is to honor the Lord. And with that, we begin this new year and this new month by wanting to honor God by honoring the mission that God has given to our church, both as on the Korean side and also on the English ministry side, and honor the future that He desires to give to us. So, what I'll be teaching you today is something that I often teach leaders and something that I've taught our leaders in this church before, but I believe that God desires all of us to be leaders and to grow in our leadership. You see, if you are a Christian, whether you see yourself as a leader or not, if you are a Christian, you are called to be a leader to some degree. We are called to lead people to Christ. We are called to lead people towards greater maturity in Christ through discipleship. So in various capacities, if you are a Christian, you are called to be a leader. And so with that, it is important for us to grow as leaders as a result. One survey recently discovered that the majority of Christian adults believe that there is more to the Christian life than what they've experienced so far in their lives. And a key reason for that, they feel that they did not take the steps of faith when God asked them, and they did not take steps of obedience when God asked them. And so they played it safe. They played the safe route, they wanted the comfortable route, and so because of that, they feel that they've missed out on something bigger, greater, grander. And that's something that I want us to avoid, not to have that kind of regrets when we get older. You see, the Christian journey, it is not about playing it safe. It is about walking in faith. It is not about focusing on the risks. It is about focusing on the reward. That is how the life of a believer is to be lived. And so that's what I want us to be challenged by, to take these steps of faith so that you will reach your maximum potential, that when you cross the finish line, you will say, just like Paul, as I feel, as he felt, that I am offering up my life as a living sacrifice. I feel that I am pouring out my life as a living offering to the Lord. That's how I want us to live. Live for the Lord. Run for the Lord. Run for the kingdom of God with all your might, with all your heart. It is worth it. He is worth it. And when we cross that finish line, we will celebrate all that God was able to do through us for eternity. Amen? That's what I want for us. So for us to accomplish the fullness of our potential, part of that means to grow as a leader. To make maximum impact, it's crucial that you grow in your leadership abilities. It's a way to honor those who are under your care. So again, whether you think of yourself as a leader or not, God sees you as a leader in this world, in your spheres of influence. And with that, it is important for us to grow as leaders as a result. John Maxwell, he's one of the foremost leading authors, speakers on leadership. And he also often stresses that every leader needs to keep growing. He says, once you stop growing, you should probably stop leading. Because it is crucial that the leadership pool, the waters that people drink from, is not a stagnant pool of water, but a flowing stream. So as you learn, others can learn from you as well. But in order to be careful of some roadblocks, he outlines what is called, what he likes to call, the law of the lid. So everyone repeat, law of the lid. What he means by that is, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, your leadership level is a 6 or a 7. He's saying it's important for you to keep growing. Because if you are a level 6 or 7 leader, some things can potentially harm your leadership and your ministry. One thing that can happen is if there are other people that God brings into your life that have a leadership level of an 8 or a 9, that, if you're not growing in your leadership, then that can create some frustration for the people who are under your care. If you are not growing and if you do not know how to delegate and partner with those people. You see, your leadership level becomes almost a lid of how your group can potentially grow. So if you stay there, your team will also stagnate. So it is important for you to keep growing. Otherwise, these other leaders who will come in with potential, greater potential, again, will either be frustrated, leave, or have other conflicts with you. So it is vital to keep growing as a leader so that your team can keep growing as well. So with that, what I'll be sharing with you today is foundational and extremely effective in leadership development. It is simple. It is very simple, but it is so rarely applied that if you apply what I will teach you today, you will instantly become an above average leader, because the average leader does not put in the time or energy or thinking to do the steps that I will guide you through today. So it's wisdom that I'll be sharing with you today, not just in the business world, not just in the leadership world. It's wisdom that comes from the greatest source of wisdom of all, God's Word. And I call it MVP leadership. And we'll find it in the life of Nehemiah as well. So please open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10 primarily, but we'll also be looking at other portions of Nehemiah as well. So keep your Bibles open there to Nehemiah chapter 2. Follow along with me also in your outlines as we grow in our leadership abilities today. Now, the first part of MVP leadership is to clearly know your mission. So everyone repeat, mission. Now, you'll often hear this term, and it's often misused. Now, mission is present tense and answers the question, why do we exist and what is our purpose? So everyone repeat, why do we exist? What is our purpose? That is what mission answers. It answers, why do we exist and what is our purpose? It is present tense. What I must do today, right now. You see, it is not only important to know your mission, it is dangerous if you do not know your purpose and mission for life. It is a sad thing, it is a dangerous thing to not know one's purpose. The World Health Organization reported that violence kills about 1.6 million people worldwide every year. Through various forms of violence, 1.6 million people are killed each year. 50% of those deaths are in the form of suicide. And most of them, the reason why they choose that, is they have found a, they've realized that they have lost their sense of mission and purpose for their lives. So it is crucial for you to understand and gain proper God-given mission for your life. Also, we looked at last year that right now in Korea, the number one cause of death for people in their 20s is also suicide. Tragic statistic. People in their 20s, prime of life, during college or straight out of college, prime of life. And Koreans are choosing suicide. Why? Because they feel like there's no job opportunities. They are lost in finding their purpose and their mission. So it is crucial to life to know one's mission. But those who do know their mission and purpose in life, they live with greater energy, passion, and joy. And Nehemiah was a man who knew his purpose and mission. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2, starting from verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of hearts. Then I was very much afraid. The reason why he's afraid is because as a servant of the king, you always show a happy face. Anything else, you could be killed. That's why he was afraid. Verse 3, I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, a little bit of background. Once again, Nehemiah was a cupbearer of the king. He was a servant of King Artaxerxes. But it was during a time when the people of God, the nation of God, they were dispersed. They were in exile. God was judging them. They were not in a good place. The city of God was destroyed. The walls, the gates, everything was torn down. It was a difficult time. It was a low period in the history of the people of God. And while they were in exile, while the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, it was high time for a leader to show up and to step up. So the walls were destroyed. Now, you have to understand the significance of this. Back then, just as we have locks on our doors and the fact that we have doors in our homes and walls, it represents, security. The walls in cities back then, that represented security. If you have a breach in your wall or if your walls are torn down, you are totally vulnerable for outside attack, looting, stealing. So your place is not safe if your walls are torn down. And for the city of God, the walls, the gates, everything was in rubble, shambles, and they were vulnerable to attack. And so they were not in a good position. And so for Nehemiah, what we see in chapter 1, once he heard the news about how bad the situation was, he went to the Lord in prayer. He was weeping, he was crying, he was praying, he was seeking the Lord. And as he was seeking the Lord, the mission of God became clear for this man of God. And for Nehemiah, his mission became clear, and he articulated it to the king. Let's look at verse 5. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. His mission was clear, and that was to what? To rebuild and restore the walls of the nation of Israel. Good leaders know their God-given mission and purpose in life. And so we want to apply this right now to our ministry context, with this being the first year of the first month of the year, and also the first day of the new year. We want to honor God by honoring the mission that He has given to us. So what is the mission of OEM? Our mission is to get you on mission with God. Simple and easy to remember. So our mission is to get you on mission with God. How? Through serving the church, serving the city, and through serving the nations. Our purpose is to help you get on mission and fulfill the purposes of God for your life. But it begins by serving His church. Are you serving the body of Christ here? That is where it begins. So if you want to fulfill your purpose through this ministry, it begins with serving this church. God has called you all here in this ministry for the season of your life for a reason. God has gifted you with certain gifts, talents, abilities for a reason. And God desires to use your talents to be a blessing in this ministry, to strengthen this ministry. And so that's the first place that we need to begin. And if you are looking for opportunities, again, our bulletin, right now we have a lot of ministry opportunities for you to step up and step into in faith and obedience. So it begins with serving His church. But also, our mission is to get you on mission with God, not only by serving this church, but also by serving this city. One of the great things that happened last year is we saw this church come alive and became a church beyond Sundays and beyond the four walls of this building. We became a church that began serving the city, becoming the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are outside these walls, but in need of the witness of Jesus Christ. So if you have not done so, I encourage you to serve the homeless through our soup kitchen, serve the elderly through the nursing home that we serve at, serve the many orphanages that we help out in, volunteer opportunities through Holtz and Eastern and other children's service centers throughout this city. Fire by night, bringing the presence of God through the people of God in the places of this city. Being actively engaged in serving this city will allow you to grow. You see, these people who took steps of faith to begin serving in this ministry, I love hearing their testimonies because they often share how much they've grown after they've done that. And people who have been involved in serving the city last year, they've also seen so much growth in their spiritual lives as well. So we want to serve the church, serve the city, but also serve the nations through missions and outreach involvement. So it means not just short-term missions, and to repeat, one of the best uses of your vacation time, winter, summer, spring, fall, whatever, one of the best uses of your vacation is to go on mission with God. It's one of the best investments of your life. You will not be the same, and your heart will fall more in love with Jesus. And I love seeing more families start to take family mission trips together. And for long-term missions, we trained up about 15 people last year through this ministry. It is awesome to see. And about 15 people also expressed to me after I cast that vision about English teachers here going not to their home country, but to going to an unreached country in the world. About 15 people that I know of are prayerfully considering where they will go after their contract expires, specifically to get on mission with God. And that is awesome. That is beautiful. And you are going to grow so much spiritually as a result. Amen? So we want to challenge you to keep doing this. Your joy will increase. You will grow spiritually by taking these steps of faith and obedience by getting on mission with God. So again, good leaders know their God-given purpose in life. You were created to live for the Lord and fulfill His purposes. Now, you might still be wondering, but Eddie, personally for me, what is my God-given mission from God? Every believer has this common mission, and I will tell it to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, a faith-filled, trusting believer in Christ, every believer has this mission, and that is to glorify God and expand the kingdom of God. That is always your mission. Now, how that will look like will be very specific to where your area of occupation will be, if you are called to disciple your children by being a stay-at-home mom, that is not a small calling. Do not be ashamed to say, I am, quote-unquote, just a mom. That is a high calling in the eyes of heaven. And so that means you glorify God and you expand His kingdom by raising up disciples who capture the vision of Christ and His kingdom. So whether you are a student, a soldier, or a servant in the public sphere, whatever your calling is in terms of occupation, our mission is always to glorify God through everything you do and expand the kingdom of God wherever God sends you. Amen? That is always the mission for the believer. So knowing your mission is the first step of true growth in MVP leadership. But secondly, I mean, you're probably going to guess this one, V stands for vision. So everyone say vision. All right. So MVP leadership means you know your mission and you have a clear vision from the Lord. Now, if mission is present tense, meaning this is what I'm called to do right now today, vision is future tense. It is in the future. This is where we want to go or head in the future. Okay. So present tense, mission, future tense, vision. If mission answers the questions, why do we exist and what is our purpose? Then vision answers the question, where do we want to go and who do we want to become? Okay, so that's what that question answers. Where do we want to go? Who do we want to become? A vision is a picture of the future that ignites passion in your heart today. That's another way to articulate vision. Let me give you a few characteristics of true godly vision. Characteristics of what it looks like. First of all, true godly vision is clear. So everyone say clear. Okay, no fuzziness, but the people know, you know where you need to go. It is not only clear, but also it is clarifying. Everyone say clarifying. It tells you what you need to do, but also what you don't do. Okay, it will clarify things for you. Someone once said, it's easy to say no when there's a deeper yes burning inside. That is what vision does. It clarifies our focus. Also, three, it is captivating. It gets people excited for the task ahead. Proverbs 29:18, a famous one on vision, King James Version often quoted, says, where there is no vision, people perish. Okay, so where there is no vision, people perish. Do not literally die physically, but they die in terms of energy, passion, and pursuits. So if there is no vision, the energy of the people will dissipate. And so where there is no vision, the people perish. So we want to keep that vision ahead of them, and that is captivated for them. Because a God-given vision breathes life into people. Also, it is a catalyst for action. Once people forget why they're there, that vision will move them to what they need to do again. And finally, for it to be truly a God-given vision, it is Christ-honoring. What that vision encapsulates is something that will honor Jesus Christ. We do all things for the glory and honor of Christ. Even if what you do doesn't have God's name in it or isn't a ministry in the traditional sense of the word, all that we do, again, is to please and honor Christ in it all. And for Nehemiah, his mission was driven by his vision. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. It says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins when with its gates burned? Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Why? So that that we may no longer suffer derision. And the NIV says, so that we may no longer be in disgrace. That was his vision. He was able to see the problems, but also the possibilities. His vision was to see the people of God restored in a way that would honor Christ. You see, it doesn't take a leader to see problems or faults in other people or situations. That doesn't make you a leader. That any non-Christian can find problems and faults in any situation. Being a complainer doesn't qualify you for leadership. It takes a leader to see problems, but to go from problems to possibilities. That's what makes a leader. A leader doesn't dwell in the past, complain about the present. A leader moves people into a brighter future. It's a vision of what could be and what should be. That is what drives a leader. And for Nehemiah, it was a dream of restoration and justice. And that is the mark of true godly given vision for the leader. Is that you don't focus. You see, that's one of the things, like, when we focus on problems and complain, first of all, that is a sin, right? Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may shine like stars in the universe, right? That doesn't make you a leader. What makes you a leader, because you need to lead God's people, it is not to focus on present problems, but God has given you that position of influence over other people so that God can use you to lead people through problems into greater realms of faith and possibilities, so that as they maneuver through the problems, their faith and trust in God will also grow. Amen? That is how we are to live our lives. People of God, as Nehemiah was driven by a vision to see the glory of God restored in his people, in his city, to see a vision of justice reign, that is the prayer of our hearts as well. We must have a holy discontent of the injustices of our day. One of the sad things that I repented of last year was that I became numb and even accepting of many injustices of our day, which is why I'm thankful for the year of freedom last year, that God set me free from that. Christian leaders must not get numb and used to the sins and injustices of our society. Now, it doesn't mean pointing it out and cursing and criticizing. Again, anybody can do that. But it is a holy discontent that, God, you must do something, that drives you on your knees in prayer so that you will rise up and show up and step in to be someone, to be a catalyst for change. Amen. We must pray for a holy discontent of the injustices of our day. We must be a people of vision in these last days. You see, a mark of a spirit-filled, spirit-led person is that person has Christ-exalting vision that is guiding his life. That is what we are to pray for. You see, throughout Scripture, the prophecies of Joel that is also repeated in Acts, it is clear that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all of his people. As his Spirit is poured out upon his people, old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. We need to be a people who dream great dreams for the kingdom of God, who have visions of what Christ can do through his people. We must dream great dreams of what God can do in our generation to heal, restore, and set people free. To believe abortions can end in this nation. To believe that the church can lead the way in adoptions. To believe that the church will be the driving force that brings an end to slavery in our lifetime. It is honoring God by believing that our great God can do great things. It is a dishonor to our great God when we do not have the faith to believe that things can change. It is a dishonor to our great God to think that God can't do much in our day and age. It is a dishonor to our great God to think that situations can't change in Korean society because culture is too strong. It is an honor to God to believe that radical revolution can happen because that is the power of his kingdom that is coming and his kingdom that is here through the presence of his people. Amen. That honors God. Faith honors God. Faith to believe that our great God will bring radical revival and revolution in the Church of Korea that will transform this nation. That will honor God. And we need a people of faith to rise up in this generation. Amen. And the vision of Onity Church and OEM is to be the Acts 29 church. And we do this by sending out teams who will establish healthy, reproducing churches in every country around the world. Already, this church has sent over 1,400 long-term missionaries throughout the world. That is phenomenal for a church that is less than 30 years old. Last year, as I mentioned, OEM, we trained about 15 long-term missionaries. We have church plants in China, Japan, throughout the U.S. cities, New Zealand, Australia, CGN TV, and our broadcast reaches over 150 countries around the world, and we are actively in prayer about how we as an English ministry can also join in the church planting movement of this church. So we must be in prayer for that. Ultimately, being the Acts 29 church, as I'm so glad we have it plastered on our bulletins again behind our banner, it is about continuing the work of the early church and finishing the story of Scripture in reaching the world for Christ. It is a vision to see every person here gripped with a passion for the lost and the unreached people groups of the world. Not only that God is worthy to be worshipped, but that He will be worshipped by every tribe, tongue, and people group of the world, because that is what the Word tells us will happen. And we want to be a part of making that truth a reality. Amen. So we must be a people of vision for the kingdom of God. Mission, vision. Those you probably figured out. Third, MVP, we need a plan. So everyone say plan. Right, so mission is present tense, right? Why do we exist? Vision is future, right? So where are we going? Who do we want to become? Where do we need to go? And the plan, MVP, the plan are the practical steps that will guide you from mission to vision. Okay? So what will you do on a daily basis in your mission that will drive you to your vision? All right, so those are the practical steps that you need. Nehemiah not only knew his mission, was guided by his vision, but he had a practical plan as well. Let's look at verse 6 of Nehemiah 2. And he said to the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. So he asked, you know, how are you going to do this? Because a lot of people, they have great mission statements. They have great vision statements. And you ask them, how are you going to do it? Their response, I don't know. I've actually seen that happen a lot. They're big dreamers, but they have no idea how it's going to happen. Right? But thankfully, Nehemiah wasn't like that. Can you imagine? He presents before the king, you know, we have to rebuild the wall. You know, there has to be restoration for my people. How are you going to do that? I don't know. You know, he's going to get back to work, you know. But Nehemiah had a plan. Let's look at verses 7 to 8. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. So he had a plan, a practical plan of restoration. And for OEM, our plan, in terms of going from mission to vision, is a process of church health. Again, our vision is to become the Acts 29 church by sending out teams that will establish healthy reproducing churches in every country around the world. Now, if we want to plant healthy churches, we need to first of all be a healthy church. And in order for us to be a healthy church, what makes up a church? Christians. So if we want to be a healthy church, it means we must be healthy Christians. Because your health determines our health. And so we want us to be healthy. And this is what our staff has been working hard towards for the past several years. What is our process? Well, it's listed in our website bulletin, but also we are prayerfully trusting that more and more it'll be ingrained in the DNA of every person in our ministry. And it is a process of health, of spiritual health. So it's a spiritual health check that you can do as well. And it's basically helping you go from fellowship, discipleship, ministry, outreach, and worship. Okay? to grow in fellowship, to grow in discipleship, to grow in your ministry, to grow in outreach, to grow in your worship. And an easy way to remember it would be to know, grow, sow, show, all for the glory of God. So everyone say know. Grow, sow, show, all for the glory of God. Let me articulate, let me connect it for you now. We want to help you know, okay? Know God and enjoy the fellowship of His family. So do you know God? That's step one. You need to know Him. But if you do know Him, are you enjoying the fellowship of being part of the family of faith? So entering through membership, baptism, entering the community of faith. Knowing God and knowing His family. Fellowship, to know God. After that, we want to help you not just know Him, we want to help you grow in God, grow in Christ. Through small groups, through discipleship, through one-to-one, through discipleship courses that we offer, we want to help you not just know Him, we want to help you grow in Him, right? Third, sow. We want to help you not just know Him, grow in Him, also we want to help you sow the gifts that God has given you through ministry and service. And then we want to help you show the grace of God through outreach, evangelism, missions, and mercy ministries. And ultimately, we do it all worship to the glory of God. All right, so know, grow, show, sow, show, all for the glory of God. Fellowship, discipleship, ministry, outreach, worship. All right, so we'll be articulating this a little bit more, breaking it down more next week, Lord willing. But that's what we want to see you grow in. And this is an easy way to test your spiritual health. A lot of us, we took membership, we've been baptized, and that's it. That proves you're not healthy right now, spiritually. Because all you did is, you know God, that's great. But some of you, you know Him, you've entered the family, you're enjoying the family of faith, and you are growing, you're involved in a small group, you've taken discipleship classes, all these things like that, you're a one-to-one member, leader, whatever, but that's it. But that also shows you're not healthy yet. Until you know Him, are growing in Him, sowing His gifts through service, actively sharing your faith through showing the grace of God through outreach, and learning to have a life of worship that's all for the glory of God, that makes up a healthy Christian. And as all of us grow healthy, our church becomes healthy. And that is the proper DNA for a healthy church to be planted. Amen? So that's what we want to do. So I want you to really ask yourself in this, are you a healthy Christian? Examine. Where are you? What have you seen in your life that is knowing, growing, sowing, showing, all for the glory of God? So that's MVP. Mission, vision. Mission, what am I to do today? Vision, where does God want me to go? Does God want me to go? Plan, what are the steps to go from mission to vision? But this last part, this is crucial. This is a biggie here. That is progress evaluation. So everyone say progress evaluation. This answers the question, how are we doing? Okay. How are we really doing in this? It's a big one because this is the one that most easily gets neglected. I know people who have a mission. I know people who have a vision. I know people who plan. They do more and more stuff. They add more and more stuff. But this third one is what separates the men from the boys. It's what separates excellence from average. And that is evaluating your plan, your mission, your vision, your plan. Is what we're doing effective? Do we have to stop doing some things? Do we have to cut off some things before we add on other things? So that's what we also see in Nehemiah. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4. In verse 13, it says, so in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, their bows. And if you look at the verses preceding that, verses 10 to 12, it's basically he's evaluating his situation. What has been effective? What are the problems? What are the obstacles? And he is evaluating their progress, making changes appropriately. Nehemiah continued to evaluate the progress of the work and made changes as needed to become more effective. And these are a couple ways that OEM does this. One thing, the surveys that you guys took. We take a survey every 2 or 3 years or so to evaluate our progress, to take inventory on your side to give feedback. How are we doing from your perspective? And every Tuesday, every week in our staff meetings, after we pray, seek the Lord, thank the Lord, spend time in His Word, the first thing that we do after that is evaluate. We evaluate how things went for the weekend this past week. And that is a mark of striving for excellence. But before we move on too much, we can't forget the true source of godly mission, vision, and our plans, and that is God. Not only was Nehemiah a man of vision and mission, he was a man of prayer, because godly leaders are led by God. They seek his instructions through his word and through prayer. And with this being the new year, you will be ultra motivated on this day more than any other to read through the whole Bible. Amen? Which makes Genesis chapter 1 the most read chapter in all of Scripture, right? And I want to encourage you to do so, because that is our source of wisdom through the Word of God. Again, grab your copy of Living Life if you haven't done so already downstairs in our bookstore. We have the Bible reading plan that you could tear out, keep in your Bibles. But also, I would encourage you to not only grow in the Word, but also grow in prayer. This is a year of honor, and one thing you need to understand, prayer is the place of honor. Prayer is when we gain the audience of God. It is a privilege to have the attention and the audience of God Almighty. Amen? And we need to understand this, that prayer is not duty. Prayer is not drudgery. Prayer is the place of honor. We get to bring our heart's concerns before the God of all creation, and he will listen. He will receive you. It is the place of honor. You know, one of the blessings that I've received, there's so many blessings of becoming a dad again, but this time being able to take our baby home. There's so many blessings. And one that I really want to share with you is, you know, since we've taken Enoch home, I've loved, loved, loved my prayer time. Now, I've shared it before that I go through a prayer journal. I have you guys in the prayer journal. I pray for so many of you guys by name as well, daily, as I go through my prayer list of things and people I pray for. And I've loved, because you have to realize that this is a rare opportunity. The baby sleeps about 14, 16 hours a day, so and often constantly in need of attention, wakes up every hour for feeding, changing, things like that, needing to be held, all these things. And so it's a rare, I think, you know, it's a dream for a preacher. You know, you always have an audience, you know. He cannot run away, you know. And so I've loved praying with Enoch. And so we pray through my prayer journal together. So all the things that I pray for now, in the past, obviously, as I go through my prayer time with the Lord, I'll pray, God, you know, I lift up OEM to the Lord, da-da-da, but now it becomes, God, we lift up these people to the Lord. And so knowing that these prayers, again, anytime you pray, that is a layer of blessing, as we began last year about. Prayers are layers of blessings. And so the more prayers that I could layer onto his life, the more blessed he will be. And the other thing, too, that I've loved doing is as I'm holding him, as it's been such a blessing to see directly the prayers of pouring prayer into someone, of laying hands and pouring blessings into them. So for all of you future parents out there, because I know that a majority of us are singles through our survey, that's one thing to keep in mind. It is a rare opportunity when there are infants like that to hold them and not just sing to them. That's great to sing to them, sing praise to them, do that too, but specifically to pray into their life, to lay hands and pray blessings into their lives. And also, I want to train him in prayer. And so when we pray for my wife, you know, I lay his hand and we lay hands on my wife and we pray for blessing and healing for her and stuff like that. And so it's about training him, because so many studies have shown that, you know, they don't know how legit it is, but they are receptive to things when they're born. You know, they're aware of certain things. And so if there's anything for them to be aware of when they're newborns, that is prayer and the presence of God. If there's one thing. And for all of you other parents who have children that are older, and we only have about 18 years with them anyway, when they're sleeping, go to their bedside, lay hands and pour prayers into them. I'm realizing the new depths of privilege it is that God has given us in these few years to become a discipler of pouring prayer and teaching them the place of prayer. It is the place of honor. We are bringing them into the presence of God. Amen? So understand that. Also, Proverbs 29:18, ESV, we looked at the King James prior, says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. What this tells us, prophetic vision. That vision, revelation, mission, our plan, they all come from God. Wisdom comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So fear, respect, reverence, honoring the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So for this year, from this day, seek to honor the Lord with your life by gaining your mission, vision, plan from heaven's counsel. You want to live with wisdom? Ask this question for all the days of your life. What will honor God? That will help bring clarity as to how to wisely live your life. What will bring the greatest honor to the Lord? So no more apathy, no more complacency. Let us seek to fulfill our God-given potential by pursuing a life that He desires for us. One whose mission, vision, plan comes from Him. One whose life honors the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.